Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's ain't nobody got time for that or free speech, because I'm helping David Duke with his show on pretty much a daily basis now, or at least four times a week, and I got to do my show, and sometimes it's hard to do both at the same time. I'm helping him because he needs the help, because he's got some issues going on, as you probably know, and you can send him money at a check through snail mail to Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. And then if you have any money left over, don't eat. Don't spend it on food. Send it to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78684. Or phone it into 1-800-724-2719. I'm not even thinking about that. It's completely autopilot. So here's the show that Dr. Duke and I did yesterday? I think we recorded it yesterday, and I'm playing it for tomorrow. So you can do the math. See you at the end of the show.
Ready? Three? Yep. You got your timer start? Start your timer.
Okay, good.
Three, two, one. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, and open-minded people wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, and the world, this is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. And human rights have certainly been violated in the Middle East, and right now are being violated on a massive scale across the world. In the Middle East, in Israel, in the occupied territories, in Gaza, in Israel, terrorism that exists throughout the region, the Levant, we have an incredible violation of human rights driven by the state of Israel, but more importantly, the Jewish elite, the Jewish billionaire elite, the globalist elite that have so much power over the United States of America, and that are using the United States of America as their golem to enforce their global hegemony and power and influence and empire. And they're sacrificing and destroying not only the people of the United States and the people of Europe and the people of Ukraine and the people of Gaza and the people of Iran and the people of Lebanon. They're hurting the world with constant wars. So we're going to play a little section from Democracy Now! Today, which kind of has a pretty good sum up of some of the horrors that are going on right now. But we're just going to sit back, listen to it for a moment or two, and comment on what these horrors actually mean, what these crimes, human rights crimes, actually represent. And to do that, I have the person I would most want to be at my side talking about these things, even though that's a metaphorical technique. He's not exactly by my side. He's a good ways away from me as the crow flies, but he's definitely by my side in terms of a person who has a unique understanding. We all always don't necessarily agree, but we really have a very similar way of thinking. And generally speaking, over time, we seem to be coming closer together the more we discuss an issue. Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to Human Rights Radio.
Thank you very much, Dr. Duke. What's up, Doc?
What's up? Well, we're going to find out what's up. We're going to be talking or listening, I should say, and commenting, which I look forward to these comments very, very much, that exists from, well, Democracy Now!, one of the more famous programs. And they really come up with some very good material. Sometimes they themselves go down the wrong path as well. And we may get into that, some of those questions as well. So let's just start off about today's roundup. And this is going to be on Democracy Now!
Now, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Lebanon's caretaker Prime Minister Najib Mikati has accused Israel of waging a war of extermination after Israeli airstrikes killed at least 558 people, including 50 children, and injured over 1,800 since Monday. It was Israel's largest attack on Lebanon in nearly two decades. In Israel, Israel said today it will further accelerate its attacks on Lebanon. Israel claimed the airstrike struck 1,600 Hezbollah targets, but Lebanon's health Ministry said Israel mostly struck civilian sites, including hospitals, medical centers, and ambulances. Thousands of Lebanese residents have fled southern Lebanon, with many heading to Beirut. The UN Human Rights Office warned Israel that sending a warning before attacking civilians is not okay. Hezbollah forces responded to Israel's massive attack by firing missiles at Israeli military bases, arms factories, and other areas. EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell warned, quote, we are almost in a full-fledged war, while UN spokesperson Stéphane Dujarric said the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is alarmed at the large number of civilian casualties reported in Lebanon.
The message to the parties that are firing at each other across the blue line, to all the parties involved in this conflict, is step back from the brink. Stop the escalation. As we just said, there's no military solution at this point that will make anyone in either country any safer.
Israel's attack.
So let's step back a second, Dr. Slattery. I want to listen to what you said early on and get the numbers. Do you remember what the numbers were? Israel was bragging about the fact that they made 1,600. I believe that was the figure. If it was 1,400 or 1,800 or whatever it was, or maybe it was 1,800. I don't know. But 1,000, just think of 1,000 bombings. How many times have we seen one bombing that killed 10 people or 5 people, whatever, be big news, especially if it was, say, bombing a synagogue or something like that? That had been global news on the front pages of most publications and in major mainstream media by the so-called national news networks of the United States and other countries. So let's think about this for a second. The most attacks in 20 years in terms of Lebanon, maybe more. And we're talking about hundreds killed, almost about half of the amount that died on October 7th. But the death toll was, by the way, 50 children, over 50 children, with the death toll less than half of the ones in Gaza, which is another good illustration of the fact that they told us that October 7th proved the barbarity, the evil, the cruelty, the subhuman qualities of these Hamas fighters, who, by the way, attacked and very courageously, whether or not you agree with it, what they did, and some of them committed perhaps what could be called atrocities or killed civilians. But if killing civilians makes one subhuman or evil or horrific or whatever they tried to paint Hamas, then what do we say about Israel that commits far more massive, horrible attacks? Now, when you think about 600 or 1,600 or 1,800, whatever it is, bombs going off in homes, businesses, streets, on ambulances, hospitals, schools, whatever. 1,600 separate attacks, mostly by fighter jets. It wasn't like a suicide bomber that was even giving up his own life because he felt like he had to fight against the enemy that took away maybe his family or has committed so many horrors against his own people. But these people go in there with very little risk on their own life. Now, you drop a big bomb, a 100-pound bomb of TNT, will devastate an entire home, send shrapnel or explosive or fire-creating materials, incendiary materials that would burn the people alive in those places, that those people that weren't killed, you'd have people that lose eyesight, the people that are crippled, people that lose limbs, people that are disfigured, and people suffering enormous pain, as well as those not killed who lose their parents or who lose their children. Or husbands that lose their wives, or wives that lose their husbands, or people that lose their parents. Think about it, folks. And yet, nobody calls Israel a terrorist country. It will come up, I think, in this video. We'll go back to it in a minute, but they talk a little bit about the 4,000 people injured, at least, from the blowing up of the pagers or cell phones or whatever else was there, walkie-talkies, and so forth. And we know now that it seemed to be something where they did plant some sort of explosives in some of these phones, because we know where the phones are manufactured. Apparently it was in Hungary, and it was apparently by Motorola. But the fact that Motorola allowed the licensing of this manufacturer, but then they don't know what went into the phones. So we don't even know if they had a system to try to make these phones, which we all know that the phones were the long-lasting batteries and rechargeable batteries and so forth. They can't explode when they reach certain temperatures, and you can affect that. And we don't know, but maybe these phones specifically had explosives and high explosives. And with explosives that you can put into just a small walkie-talkie or a small pager, in fact, you can kill people. And they did kill people. And you can injure people terribly and just cause a car to crash or an airplane to crash or whatever. So it's an amazing phenomenon. And if this is not a terrorist action where thousands of civilians are affected by this terrorism, which is exactly what it is, to put terror and panic into the massive peoples, just demoralize them and make them want to escape and flee and not fight. This Israeli onslaught is, again, one more example of Israeli brutality. So what's your reaction to those first and opening statements of Ms. Goodman and this foray into what looks like the beginning of another major war? And it's more, you know, and in every way, Israel has advantages over them in terms of, you know, they don't have the jet fighters that Israel has. They don't have the bombs that they have. They don't have the delivery systems they have. They don't have the intelligence and weapons systems, satellites that they have. They don't have any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's more of a beatdown than is a real legitimate war. But go ahead.
Yeah. Just in the past few days, from the pagers, and then the next day it was laptops and other electronic devices, and now you've got the massive bombing. And from Al Jazeera, this was updated 8 hours ago. From Al Jazeera, in the airstrikes, at least 558 people. And then there's a few dozen people who were killed by the pagers. So that gets you up to about 600 killed. And this, of course, is including in Al Jazeera, they say, including 50 children and 94 women. It may well be more than that. So you got the 600 killed and then injured from the airstrikes, they're saying at least 1,835 were wounded in the air attacks. But of course, in these remote control bombings, explosions of the pagers and other devices.
4,000.
So you're talking about like 600 dead, 6,000 wounded in just a few days. If this is not an all-out war, you know, what is? It's massive. Now, this is going on in the backdrop of the UN General Assembly meeting, and so leaders from all over the world are assembling in New York. There's an awful lot of attention to what Israel's doing, and it's so clear. It's clear to really everybody that what Israel is trying to do, it's desperately trying to provoke an Iranian attack on Israel so that it can then cry out in pain as it wouldn't be so much that it strikes Iran, but it can cry out in pain as it gets the American golem to strike Iran. And that's
when they dare to defend themselves from American guns and giant bombs and missiles and everything else, try to defend their young men, try to defend their country and their infrastructure, and they strike back and kill Americans, that'll be the justification for just devastating the country of Iran, which certainly the United States has the ability to do.
Right. So the whole idea, the whole name of the game is to provoke Iran into hitting Israel so that Israel can then go to the dumb goyim in America and say, God blesses those who bless Israel or whatever. And unfortunately, because of the Zionist control over the U.S. media or domination of the U.S. media, there's an awful lot of Americans who sympathize with Israel no matter what. But there's an awful lot who see through it, and around the world, everybody's appalled. This is really high risk strategy. The people who are running Israel now, it's Netanyahu, but it's also these religious parties. And one thing is, when you think about the demographics of Israel, I was hearing, who was saying it? I guess Glenn Greenwald was citing statistics, or was it John Mearsheim? Ow! One or the other. Sorry, my dog dropped a bone on my foot. One or the other was citing
statistics. I hope he didn't interrupt this conversation.
Anyway, dogs and their bones. What are you going to do? So
kids and dogs.
The current demographics of Israel is only 13% ultra-Orthodox. But he was saying that in, 18 years or so, the fighting age men, draft age men of Israel is going to be almost half Orthodox. Well, what that means, that can only be the case if children are overwhelmingly ultra-Orthodox in Israel. And of course, why wouldn't that be the case? Because the ultra-Orthodox have huge families. I mean, it's 6-8 children is very common for these ultra-Orthodox families. And the non-Orthodox in Israel, their reproduction rate is just like probably like any other Western country. But this Orthodox, I mean, they're kind of the queen bees. They are spewing out babies like crazy. And that's what gives Israel the highest fertility rate in the so-called Western world. But what it means is that Israel is rapidly becoming an Orthodox country, ultra-Orthodox, which, you know, they were bringing this up in terms of what it means for the military, because the ultra-Orthodox aren't subject to the draft. But it's not just that. They have their own particular ideas. They have very strange ideas. And so their political importance is only going to grow. Israel is just bound to get more and more extreme. And the current coalition is pursuing some of these policies. You know, some of what they're doing comes straight out of the religion. So what was the name of the October 7th operation that Hamas carried out? It was Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Why Al-Aqsa? Well, that's the Al-Aqsa Mosque that the ultra-Orthodox are scheming to tear down. You know, they were doing all this weird stuff with a red heifer, and they were having Netanyahu actually, from what I understand, held a cabinet meeting in tunnels under the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And so, you know, there's a lot of religious aspect to it too. And this is only going to increase if Israel remains a state. Lots of people are starting to question whether Israel has any kind of viable future, because this behavior, it's not sustainable. Something's got to give. Hopefully it's not going to be a World War III that ends civilization for everybody. But the ultra-Orthodox, they don't care about it. And we'll see.
But let's talk about that a little bit. And so you brought up a subject that I want to get to. I do want to go back and just talk about the realities of the horror and the murder and stuff that's going on, and this distinction where only the Palestinians are talked about as terrorists. Never Israel, no matter how many people they torture in prison, how many people they rape, which Israel ministers and people inside of the top government of Israel say that these people should be allowed to rape, you know, nondescript Palestinian prisoners. I mean, and they also even saved the children, did a big report on how the great percentage of Palestinian children, both boys and girls, are sexually abused, pedophilia sanctioned by the Israeli criminal state. I mean, it's kind of amazing. But let's talk first about the subject that you brought up, which is almost never brought up, because one of the narratives that we hear almost every day in the mainstream media, and even among people that are critical of Israel, they'll say something like, well, the Zionists and Israel, there's terrible atrocities, horrible crimes, genocidal actions, tortures, dislocation, ethnic cleansing, all these things. It's not 100 hostages that are really proportionate. It's not 100, not 1,000, not 10,000, not 15,000, but maybe 20,000 Palestinian hostages held in the dungeons and the torture chambers that Israel represents and Israel commits. And that's a tragic thing. Now, religiously, they'll say, yeah, Israel's committing these terrible, terrible crimes. Like they would say the 1,800 or 1,600, whatever the number is of these are separate bombing attacks, separate sites, 1,600 minimum. So what happens there? What does that represent in terms of terror? Not one bombing, not one house, not one business, not one church, not one school, not one facility.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
What does that represent in terms of terror? Not one bombing, not one house, not one business, not one church, not one school, not one facility, not one police station, no, not one army, but 1,600 where innocent people inevitably are killed. Now, who supports this? And what is the rhetoric used by the Jewish state of Israel? And by the way, I'm not going to call it the Israeli state of Israel. Israelis don't call it the Israeli state. They call it the Jewish state. They demand we even say the Jewish state of Israel. And the Jewish state of Israel is, in fact, a religious state. It's a state where the religion of Judaism is woven into the very fabric and very essence of the state. It doesn't mean that all Jews are religious, Orthodox, Jewish, what do you want to call them? Religious fanatics. But the state itself is a reflection, and their actions against the Palestinians are a reflection of a religion that has no regard for human rights or human freedoms or even human life itself, even the life of children. Now, I don't think anybody can even imagine anybody that say, and we have a lot of states, we have Church of England and Great Britain. And I can imagine the head of Great Britain, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. I can imagine in other European states where you have a Christian aristocracy or a Christian government, where I can imagine the government do terrible things or say terrible things. I don't think any of them would say what Israel says, that it would evoke, you know, the idea of Amalek and how the Palestinians are Amalek, and we got to kill all of them, man, woman, child, baby, including, and even suckling babies, just to make sure those Israelis get the point. But it's like, this is what is said by the religious leaders of Israel, the most powerful, that also have political sway, like Shas Party, and the biggest, most important religious leader in Israel is the chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel. And the most famous one in the last few years was Rabbi Yosef. And Yosef absolutely was unbelievably bloodthirsty. He used to call the Palestinians, like, call them snakes or insects, and we have to wipe them out. He did a lot more than that. He also had this incredible hatred for all other people in the world other than Jews, the Goyim, the non-Jews, which are 99.8% of the world. And he said the only purpose, and this was in a recorded sermon, he did it on Israeli television, he said the only purpose of non-Jews on earth, which is 99.8% of humanity, the only purpose on earth for them, the only meaning they have in life, the only thing that's any reason for them to even exist is for Jews. That they exist for the aggrandizement, for the power of Jews. They exist to serve Jews. He made fun of them. I mean, he ridiculed them and just treated them. He compared them to donkeys. And he said, what is the purpose of Gentiles? It's to bind, to dig, to deceive, you know, to work. While Jews are meant to sit and eat like an effendi, like a master. He said this. And he said, oh, we want our, he was kind of being sarcastic. We want our Gentiles that are basically our slaves, our servants, to live long lives, the same way we want our donkeys to live long lives, to serve Jews. Can you get a statement more racist than that? Can you get a statement more racist by the head of Israel comparing the Palestinians to Amalek, and then evoking the story of Amalek, which is a story of the ordering of the Jewish heroes, which he called them, the heroes who murdered every man, woman, and child of the Amaleks. And then he compared them to, that was an urge for genocide. And we had Gloria Island that also openly said, he was actually the former director of security for Israel, and he's a high official now, advisor to the Israeli government. And he said, we want them to be a humanitarian crisis. We want people to die of diseases. That's how we win this war. These are children that most die when you have starvation. And the policy of Israel was to stop any food, any good clean water, to destroy the ability to have good clean water. And you have to have that for life, obviously. And if you don't have good clean water, you get sick and you die. The many diseases that can be carried and polluted are damaged or very, very badly biological agents that exist in dirty water and infected water. And they even blew up the water processing plants, so they couldn't get water. And as Finkelstein saw in a video I saw today, he was talking about how that over half of Gaza is in ruins. And he used the analogy, he said, you know, if you go to New York City, and say you go to Fifth Avenue or Third Avenue or whatever, and imagine one side, you know, that half of that avenue, that half of one side of the street was blown off the map. It's actually, I think, worse in Gaza than that. But could you imagine any religious leader calling and saying the only purpose of non-Christians or non-Buddhists is to serve Buddhists and to be slaves and servants to Buddhists? Or could you imagine anybody? Could you imagine a Catholic leader? Could you imagine the Pope saying that? Never. Could you imagine anybody really saying that? Maybe some of these deluded Christian Zionists might say something like that, who are so sick to think that this is what God would want, that Jesus would want, when Jesus gave exactly the opposite message of that in his teachings to the world. He said, I came to make the golden rule universal for everybody, not just Jews. Anyway, so what are some of your thoughts on those aspects? 1,800 or 1,600, whatever it is, separate bombings? And what happens in a bomb? You know, what happened in Gaza?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Anyway, so what are some of your thoughts on those aspects? 1,800 or 1,600, whatever it is, separate bombings? And what happens in a bomb? You know, what happened in Gaza was the people that came into Gaza, they attacked military bases. They overcame two major military bases. And these are bases that had tanks, that had Apache helicopters engaging them and fighting them, and machine gun nests. And these people had small arms. And they actually succeeded in overthrowing two of them. And then, of course, they know that kibbutzim is all like miniature bases. And almost every Israeli serves. See, it's compared to only they say only 20,000 to 30,000 Gazans are part of Hamas or serving in Hamas as fighters. But just about every Israeli serves in the Israeli army. We know the crimes they're committing. We know the propaganda, the hate they present, for Israel against the Palestinian people. And yet all these hypocrisies are so startling that it's hard to even believe that they're real, but they are real.
Well, what they've been doing over the many decades, there's so many outrages, and most of the world knows exactly what's going on, and most of the world is outraged by this.
Or they know somewhat, but they don't know it all, probably. They'll know different pieces.
They don't know it all, but they know enough to be outraged. And of course, if you actually were to catalog all of these outrages, it's probably more than anybody would have ever expected. But their behavior has been awful. One thing they've been able to do in order to justify it for the people that matter to them, which is, the United States has The United States government has enabled this. The United States government enables it not because we're a imperialist power motivated by the military-industrial complex, but that our state has been captured by a Jewish power structure. But our state can only be captured by a Jewish power structure as long as you've got the compliance of and the consent of a critical mass of the American population. And they're able to maintain this critical mass through all sorts of, justifications of their crimes on kind of a piecemeal basis. And people are only looking at things piecemeal. People don't look at it comprehensively. And so, and it's all very legalistic and cute and this and that. You know, so the 1948 Nakba, to a large extent, they justify driving all of these people out of Palestine, all these Palestinians out of the what became the pre-1967 borders of Israel. They justify driving them into what are now Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon and Jordan and other countries. They justify this by saying that the civilians left their homes because they were instructed by foreign governments to clear the way for foreign armies to come in and slaughter Jews. And therefore, these people abandoned, they weren't driven out of their homes by Jews, that they left their homes voluntarily as collaborators with armies that were going to slaughter Jews. And therefore, they've relinquished the right to return to their homes. Now, okay, so that's, is
that's
it
an
really a legal
that's
justification?
That's an interesting paradigm, isn't it? That's such an interesting paradigm.
I don't know if there's any basis whatsoever in international law for that in the first place. But of course, the thing is, there's zero evidence that there were ever such broadcasts. And, you know, the fact was these people were driven out of their homes violently and ruthlessly by Jews who did everything. They poisoned wells. They did all sorts of things. They extremely violent. But, they've come up with a legal a pseudo-legal justification based on lies. And so they do that for the 1948 Nakba and the 1967 invasion of Jordan and Syria and Egypt. They justify this by saying, well, okay, we invaded them, but that's because we know our intelligence discovered that they had a plan to invade us. So we invaded them preemptively. Well, is there any evidence that there was really a plan to invade them? And the fact is that Israel did start the war. They did invade, and then they seized all of this land. They seized land from what had been controlled by Jordan. The West Bank had been controlled by Jordan. They seized that. And so everything they do, first of all, even the legal, even if you believe their lies, the legal basis for it is shaky or non-existent. But it is kind of a justification. There's always some sort of justification for presented to the American goy. And, you know, this time the justification for everything is October 7th, as if God created the earth on October 7th, 2023, which is, you know, there was an earth before October 7th, 2023. But, you know, they are able to do these things by manipulating the narratives, you know, in the case of so often. It's manipulating the time periods. You're saying framing the discussion from a starting point that benefits them. So as if there was everything, and that makes everything they do retaliation. Everything they do is retaliation, and anything that
everything
the other
they do
side
is self-defense, right? Everything they do,
yeah,
is self-defense.
It's self-defense.
Sure.
And of course, you don't have a right to self-defense over people that you occupy. You cannot claim a right to self-defense over people you occupy.
Well, if anybody's got a right to self-defense, it's not the Palestinians that went into Jewish communities anywhere in the world and drove them out. It was Jews that went into Palestine, the Palestinian communities, and drove them out and killed them, tortured them, raped a great many of them, tortured them in their prisons over years, expelled them, stole their farms, stole their homes, stole their businesses. And I mean, it's like if anybody's entitled to self-defense, I think in terms of the Israeli Palestinian conflict, it's got to be the Palestinians, in my opinion. What do you think?
Not only is the right of the Palestinians to self-defense not recognized by Americans, the Palestinians have no access to a justice system. So they don't have the right to defend themselves, and they don't have access to any system where they can have their grievances heard and actually acted on. I mean, the UN General Assembly has passed numerous resolutions. The UN Security Council has even passed resolutions, but they're never acted on. 242 was passed by the UN Security Council, and that calls for Israel to withdraw from the occupied territories. But there's no enforcement of it. So there are all these judgments in favor of the Palestinians. There's zero enforcement of it. It's going back decades and decades. And so the Palestinians have no access to protections. And then they're anything they do to defend themselves in absence of protection is then called terrorism, at least by in our media. You know, most of the rest of the world sees this. Just getting back to 242, this is another acute legalistic cutieism that the Israelis do. The 242 calls on Israel to withdraw from territories occupied in 1967. And they say, oh, well, it says territories. It doesn't say the territories. So if we withdraw from like a few square feet here and there, then that's territories. It didn't say the territories.
That's ridiculous.
No, but this is actually part of their defense.
The Jews are always talking about, and I think we should say this, because Israel says they're speaking for the Jews of the world. They consider all the Jews in the world the diaspora of Israel and, you know, part of Israel. They believe they are fighting for the Jewish people in whole, not even a part, but all the Jewish people, that they ensure the survival of the Jewish people, the security and refuge of the Jewish people worldwide. And so Israel really is amazing in their presumption that they're fighting for the interest of the Jewish people wherever they live. Now, what are they doing? And what are the governments which are so influenced by these Jews? Now, the other thing that is a power that we must bring up in terms of getting justice for the Palestinians, you can't get justice unless you know the facts, unless you concentrate on the 20,000 hostages the Palestinians are the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who've been tortured. That's according to Beth Salam, which is the biggest human rights organization led by Jews, by the way, in Israel and some Palestinians. That's by Human Rights Watch. That's Genocide Watch and many other organizations. And they say Israel is a Jewish supremacist state. And indeed they are. But so is America today, frankly, because Jews have supremacy in the media. Secondly, not only do does the state do these things, horrific things, but also people don't know the sense of this. How many times people must saw, still people, they're parroting every day. And they can say this on CNN, they can say it on Fox, they can say it on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNBC, whatever. And they can talk about how babies were beheaded and women were raped. But these allegations and these horrific slanders against the Palestinians, there's no real strong forensic basis for this. Certainly, Israel's always kept track of people who were raped, treated them. And as they pointed out in one of the articles, even from the New York Times, that when they went to all the hospitals, said, was there anybody coming in who'd been raped? Or any of the bodies that you had forensically that were looked at, tested, obviously, that you were brought at the hospital, who had evidence of rape? Not a single one, folks. Not a single one. So, I mean, it's like their policy is that they can say whatever they want. They can make these horrific allegations, but there's no free speech. Now, I just read a report yesterday that even though people know that there is some independent media and there is some alternate media, but what this article said is that only in terms of real numbers is alternate media not anymore, they said, than around 80 to 85%. In most of the Western countries and other countries of the world is even probably a bit less. Now, this alternate media, right, has a number of big disadvantages because the mainstream media, even though there are certain sources and certain things that are listened to, what media is driven by is entertainment. That's why they call it the entertainment media. They call it news media too. And news has even become kind of a form of entertainment today, hasn't it? But it's like, how in the world can they get their arguments out and the knowledge out to what's happening to their people when that media is overwhelmingly controlled by people who are supporting Israel and racist against the Palestinians and racist also against Europeans themselves. They're very happy to, you know, they put down Europeans and put out hate propaganda, true hate propaganda against Europeans to demonize them because they want to weaponize minorities and weaponize voting against Europeans because it's a divide and conquer strategy. Jewish organizations themselves talk about this. They also, because they have the top entertainment stars because of the money, and they know if they go against Israel, they'll liable to lose their contracts, and we've seen that go on. They're not going to be in the major movies anymore. They're going to lose any movie contracts. They're going to be, you know, they're going to suffer. Look what happened to Kanye West. But it's like, this is what's going to happen if they do it. But why do people tune into media? Entertainment. And they have this huge element, this huge infrastructure of entertainment, where not only do they have the people performing the music, performing being actors or actresses, the plays, the functions, the comedians that do, they're given the biggest stages. They have all these things, but what do they do? Well, the rest of their media, their print media, their radio media, even though it might be video that these people do, or performance, you know, entertainment, they promote those media people to stardom, who they like, and they suppress and censor, and they, in fact, drive out of the business those who they hate. And we can give many, many examples of that over the last few years. So, I mean, so even the media, when they talk about alternative media, it may be that there's some alternative media out there, but still people go to mainstream media all the time. If they want a late night talk show, you know, like a really fancy production with the stars and the singing and jokes and humor, they want to wind down for the evening before going to bed, you know, they're going to watch mainstream media and they're going to get a dose of propaganda in every one of those media programs. No question about it. They're going to get political propaganda that's likely to go against their supporters if they have any supporters that are supportive of the Palestinians or supporters even of European heritage and European rights in the Western world. So the power that they have is not only is it military, is it guns, is it bombs, is it jet fighters, is it threat of nuclear weapons, it's all these things. It's also economic power where they can bankrupt and sanction any country that dares to stand up against them. And we've seen that again and again. It's really quite amazing. So you're right. And I just wanted to expand that role, and I'm ready to play more of Democracy Now.
In Lebanon also killed at least one journalist, Hadi El-Sayed, a reporter for Al-Mayadeen, died after Israel bombed his home in southern Lebanon. Meanwhile, the Pentagon's announced more U.S. troops would be sent to the Middle East. The U.N. Human Rights Office is calling on Israel to stop attacking schools in Gaza that provide shelter to displaced Palestinians. Over the past 3 days, Israeli attacks on schools have killed at least 32 Palestinians, including 16 children. The U.N. agency said, quote, the children of Gaza have already lost schools as a place of education. Now they're being killed in schools as they seek shelter. On Monday, Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Mustafa spoke at the United Nations.
As I speak to you.
By the way, that's a hell of a line. They've already basically prevented them from having decent education, like the schools destroyed in Gaza and elsewhere and in the West Bank and disrupted. But now they're killing the kids that go to those schools for shelter in schools that they can't get education anymore, but they go now for shelter and they get murdered in the school en masse. In the wildest and most perverted imaginations, you can't imagine the kinds of crimes that Israel's doing. Any thoughts on that, Doctor, before I go on?
No, just please go on.
Before you, our people in Gaza are enduring one of the darkest chapters in modern history. For nearly a year now, Israel's genocidal war has caused unprecedented loss and suffering and humanitarian catastrophe. At the same time, our people in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, continue to face systemic threats driven by escalating settlers' violence, military raids, movement restrictions, and financial siege, withholding of Palestinian tax revenues.
ProPublica has revealed USAID and the State Department's Refugees Bureau both concluded this spring that Israel had deliberately blocked deliveries of food and medicine to Gaza. But U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and other top Biden officials rejected the findings of their own agencies, the two foremost U.S. authorities on humanitarian assistance. Blinken's decision allowed the U.S. to keep sending arms to Israel. Under U.S. law, the government's required to cut off weapon shipments to countries preventing the delivery of U.S.-backed aid.
Now, let's analyze this for a second, Doctor. I'm familiar with this fact. In fact, there's a lot of laws that prevent sending any money, any aid, any weapons to any country that violates the necessity for any country that wants to develop nuclear weapons must be approved first, or that must refrain from developing nuclear weapons and be inspected by the International Atomic Energy Commission and other issuers, United Nations organizations, to make sure that they're not making nuclear weapons. Of course, how do they get around that in America? Well, what do they say? Well, they do it.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Commission other issuers, United Nations organizations, to make sure that they're not making nuclear weapons. Of course, how do they get around that in America? Well, what do they say? Well, they do it to talk that, you know, you ever heard of the technicalities that get the criminal off, you know, in the court case? Well, yeah, it was obvious that he killed the woman, raped the woman, tortured the woman, but he didn't read him his rights, so therefore he's got to go free. That's what you call a technicality. And what they do on these cases, like the Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT, they simply, in America, the formal government of our country, the president and the secretary of state, even though they do talk about them sometime. They don't say that Israel, they don't acknowledge that Israel has nuclear weapons. Everybody in the whole world knows it. Israel knows it. Israel has said it. And many other leaders in our government have said it and talked about it. But they play this game like Israel doesn't have nuclear weapons. Now, if we had an honest media instead of a Jewish-controlled media in this country, dominated media, supremacy in media, why would this not be mentioned? Why would this hypocrisy not be pointed out? It's against the law in the United States for American government to give any money, any aid, any weapons to any country that's developing nuclear weapons. And this is another law that we have, that it's against the law to support any country that's stopping any, and this is an American, by the way, group that said this. These are American organizations that pointed out these violations of the law. So it's amazing. So Blinken and they'll say, well, you know, no, it's not true. And yet these were organizations that made these statements. We were part of the same government that we have in this country. These were agencies and the legal government of the United States with authoritative power who said that they are stopping the shipment of aid to organizations and American aid with American money that's going to support people who are suffering in different countries. Violation of law. But this is never brought up because we have a controlled media in America. What's your thought on that, Doc?
You mentioned the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. And yesterday we brought up Helen Thomas and the example of her asking Barack Obama during Barack Obama's very first press conference as president, can you name a country in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons? And he wouldn't answer. He says, I don't think we need to do that. You know, he chided Helen Thomas as if she was a naughty child. You know, she should know better than to ask such a question. But of course, it's an entirely legitimate question for among other reasons.
Legitimate. It's shockingly a violation of American law, clear and present law, and clearly an effort to obfuscate and hide the truth from the American people, which can easily be proven and acknowledged. And at least the press could do is say, this is ridiculous. The evidence is overwhelming that Israel has nuclear weapons. And they say that they demand that they're going to have nuclear weapons. That should be enough for them not to get a cent of American money. It's certainly not billions of dollars from America. So the hypocrisy is just one more example of that. And this also not only to prove the criminality and how this country is so much in the control of these Jewish supremacists, but it also proves quite well that the media and the infrastructure of the American government also is in their hands to a very deep state level. And that is deep state media, deep state banking, deep state campaign financing. We just can go on and on and on there. Well, thank you for being with me, Doc. Okay, folks, go to davidduke.com and support our efforts at Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana. As you know, I've been being treated for a serious disease. I don't want to go into all the details, but I've got one of those big C words, but we get some good prognosis recently, and I'm determined to survive it and be better and stronger than ever. You can already hear the results of some of my treatment, which is pretty agonizing treatment, and the results in very powerful side effects. But I'm getting better, and I believe I'm not going to die, and I'm going to be around for quite a bit longer, God willing.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. And as for me, I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
And they grow all over me, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, Groundhog Day. It's all a scam. Almost Pittsburgh, Punxsutawney, Jefferson.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't.
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.